Again, my name is Shane Gould, one of the pastors here this morning, and most of our other pastors are on vacation right now, so I'm the guy, and I've been praying all this week that God would use our time this morning to have something really good for us, whoever we are, wherever we find ourselves. And I was in a great place with God for a lot of the week, just trusting Him for that. But, you know, sometimes a message comes fast, and sometimes it comes slow, and it seemed like it was coming a bit slow, and then I felt like God gave me a number of things that I felt like He wanted to have said this morning. And then Friday night came, and I just kind of, a number of thoughts came to me that I really felt like the enemy was stirring up. Temptations and thoughts and all kinds of yucky things, and I was really almost kind of caught off guard a little bit and fighting that a little bit. And Saturday morning, I got up and my wife Linda said, you know what, I got up this last night around 4 a.m. and I just had, you know, an awful dream and just anxiety about our finances were coming. And I just thought, okay, God, what do you have for us Sunday morning? Because whatever it is, the enemy doesn't want us pursuing you and being in a good place with you. And I just want to tell you this morning that I really feel like God's with us. And I'm here just to say He's with me. And I'm just going to trust Him for whatever He has for us. And I want to invite you to do the same, no matter what your journey has been the last 7 days. So maybe we could just pray for a minute. Father in heaven, we just thank You that You're God. Nothing is impossible with You, and You are with us. And Jesus, we just thank You that in Your name, we can access all the things of heaven. Thank You for that. And so we come in Jesus' name this morning to receive from our Heavenly Father. And we just invite You, Holy Spirit, to come and direct our thoughts and our hearts. Allow us to receive from You this morning. And we just believe that You have good things for Your people. And we pray that in Jesus' name. And we all said amen to that. Well, if you've been with us over the last several months, you know that we've been working through the book of Genesis. We've been journeying through the first 25 chapters of Genesis off and on throughout the past year, actually, just looking at this interface between God and faith and living in the real world. And, you know, in the midst of living in the real world of bills and complicated relationships and decisions and dreams, God is inviting each one of us, you and me, to live a life of faith where we trust Him for the things that He's already promised us in advance. And so this morning our message is on faith as we see it being lived out in life of Abraham and Sarah's life. And you know, I think we can understand faith as the fuel for our relationship with God. In fact, the Bible says that it's impossible to please God without it. And so I want to invite you to turn to the book of Hebrews, which is a New Testament book, chapter 11, verses 13 to 19. And if you're using one of the blue Bibles, or if you don't have a Bible with you, I encourage you to grab a blue one that's in front of you in the row there and turn to page 1874, where we read that everything that God called Abraham and Sarah to do, they did and they received by something called faith. So let me read you this text, starting with verse 13. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And if you've been following along and you know the story, God came to Abraham and said, I want you to go to the land that I will show you. And we find out that Abraham went. He followed, even though he didn't really know where he was going. But he never actually fully possessed the land. In fact, the first piece of property that Abraham secured for himself was the plot, the grave plot for Sarah. When I was rereading the story and I thought that, I thought, wow, what a bit of a journey there. And that same plot would be his when he passed on, as we heard about last week. It continues on. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. A little bit later, God came to Abraham and Sarah and said, I'm going to bless you with a son. But it would be years that would go by before that pregnancy would come along. And Abraham and Sarah were already past the age of childbearing. But they chose to keep believing. And they had some stumbles, but they believed God for it. And with every passing year, it just seems so much more the unlikely. We'll drop down to verse 17 where it says, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it's through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. As far as Abraham was concerned, all he could see that was that God was asking him to sacrifice the son he had promised him in the midst of the questions he must have had. You know, how is God going to fulfill this one? And yet he did. He offered up his most prized possession, his son. Hebrews is looking back on Genesis and saying, you know, the key to Abraham and Sarah's life with God and to seeing God do all that he did in and through them, even the most seemingly impossible things, was something called faith. They received it all by something called faith. Now, when we use a word like faith, you know, we need to be careful because a word like that just means so many different things to so many different people. So here's a few things of what authentic faith isn't as you read about it in the Bible. And the first is, faith is not name it and claim it, where God just gives you everything that you're believing him for. You say, God, I want this, and boom, it's yours. That's not the biblical picture of faith. Number two, it's not a creed. It's not having the right beliefs. You know, I remember a couple of years ago, I was at North Shore Alliance men's retreat. And we had gathered up into teams and for a game of Trivial Pursuit. And I was pretty excited about it. And so it came to my turn. I was representing our team. And you know, the secular game turns to literature, and I pull out the question. And the question is, some of you guys remember that moment, is what is the opening line of the Bible? And so my team is like, oh, we have this one in the bag. I mean, God has lined it up so the pastor has got this question. We have got the edge here. And I looked at that, and I stared at the question, and I choked. I just went into, like, a freeze. And I was like, and I just completely blanked out. Didn't know the answer. And I was looking around, and my body temperature was just rising, and I was being in a sweat. And oh, my gosh, like, answer the question, you know? And I'm just like, I don't know. And it's like, and then there was, like, this crisis of faith. And then there was this, like, crisis of church. It's like our pastor does not know the opening line of Genesis. Who is this guy? Where is he taking us? You know, it just kind of snowballed from there. And thankfully, you know, faith is not having the right answer. I'm so relieved at that. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that's right in behind John 3:16 for me now. But it's not about having the right answer and sweating it out and hoping you've got the right beliefs before God. That's not the requirement. Number three, it's not a blind leap that is without reason. It isn't necessary with all the questions answered, but it's not without reason. And four, it's not being reflective or being in a place of meditation. Now, none of those things really are faith, at least the way that the Bible describes it. So, you know, what is this thing that unlocked all of what God had for Abraham and Sarah? But one of the best definitions and the most hopeful and helpful ones that I've come across is this by John Arnott. It says, faith is essentially being childlike before God, putting our trust in him and then resting in that, expecting him to do all that he has promised to do and living in hope. And you know, when understood that way, doesn't faith sound really good instead of maybe really intimidating? I mean, do you want to relate to God that way? Kind of rest in his arms as a loving heavenly father in trust, in simple trust? Now, if we're honest, that kind of thought about faith can seem a little out of step with kind of life in the real world. And I don't know if you're like me, but I sometimes struggle to trust God. Putting your faith in Him is a very simple concept, actually. But most of us know by experience it's not easy. But faith is where it all begins with God. It's right in these opening chapters, and it's the beginning of a promise to Abraham and Sarah that God invited him to receive all that he had for them through. You have to step out and begin trusting God somewhere if you want to see heaven come down and your life begin to take shape according to the things of God. It will not happen any other way except in childlike trust in his love and goodness and absolute faithfulness. The Apostle John said that it's our faith in Jesus Christ that enables us to overcome the challenges that we face in the real world every day. 1 John chapter 5 says, "For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith." And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And I felt like I was reliving that in a small little way Friday night as these awful thoughts were rushing in. And I'm looking ahead to Sunday and go, God, you know, what have I got to offer? And how can you use me in light of the battle that I feel like I'm facing in my own heart and mind right now? But I can stand here this morning because I believe that Jesus Christ has overcome the victory, has overcome evil in his victory. And I can appropriate it this morning. I can ask for it. I can choose to stand in it. And so can you. You know, in other words, exercising that simple childlike trust in Jesus is the key to overcoming everything that is set before you that would prevent you from receiving what God has. And it's amazing how God has made faith the key that unlocks his kingdom. Something so simple. Now, I want to be clear this morning. It is not having faith in my faith. It's not you being super confident about you. It's not about having faith in my abilities to pull something off for God. That's not what we're talking about here. That's not the kind of confidence that we're speaking about this morning. It's being like Abraham, who considered God faithful, who had made him the promise. And the word faith, if you really look at the original language there, can really be interpreted as trust. Exercising faith means putting your trust in God. You know, I remember the day that God made it very clear to me that he was calling my wife Lynn and I to the North Shore, to North Shore Alliance. And we were still serving at our former church in Burlington Alliance in Ontario. But from that moment on, where God had made it clear to me, I just began thinking logistics right away. And the first thing on my mind was, what kind of house are we going to be able to find in North Vancouver, knowing that prices are triple, basically, of where we're coming from? And so I just remember saying to God in that moment, and I think I've shared this story a little bit before, but I just sort of said to God right in the moment, without really thinking too much about it, well, God, if that's where you're taking us, then it's a 3-bedroom, semi-detached, 2 blocks from the church, because that's what we've got here, and I know that's what we're going to need there. And then I kind of went on with, like, strategizing how we were going to make this move. Now, there was a little bit of presumption in that prayer. Have you ever made a presumptuous prayer before? Guilty as charged. And I did that day. But at the same time, I believe that God just, he gave me the confidence to cry out to him as his child and say, God, this is the desire that I have. This is what I want to see. This is what I want to trust you for. And I believe that if we were honoring him by going, he would honor us in providing. Well, eventually Lynn and I came out for a weekend to find somewhere to live. And I'd really forgotten about that flippant prayer that I'd asked God for. And so in advance, I'd already lined up a rental opportunity at the top of Lonsdale over the internet. And I'd talked over the phone with the owners a number of times and saw the pictures. And so to make a long story short, we arrived on a Friday night and came and went straight there from the plane, basically, thinking we've got this in the bag and let's just get this done and we can have a great weekend in Vancouver. And we went to the place and it was exactly what we thought and price was in our range and we started into a dialogue. And 45 minutes later, the owners were still refusing to offer us this place to rent. And to make things worse, you know, one of his questions were, I just can't imagine how you can make a living working from a church, you know? And I kind of thought, yeah, I get that. But anyway, that's what he said. And so, you know, a checkbook was out. We were ready to sign, but it was late. We were tired. And I just sat there stunned. And so Linda and I left. And I thought, we got some work to do here. And so it was late afternoon on Saturday that we were still had come up with nothing. We'd gone through the classifieds, and we're sitting there at Starbucks on 13th and Lonsdale going, I said to Linda, you know what, I think I'm going to have to come back again, and you're going to have to trust me. And, you know, wife trusting her husband with the house, I mean, that's, anyway, so, you know, that was the deal. And so as we're doing that, you know, Linda's like, let's keep looking, you know, kind of thing. And she finds this listing in the North Shore News that maybe we had gone over or missed or somehow. And she goes, well, there's this place that's not exactly in our range, but let's check it out. Let's make this our last effort. And so we got there and pulled up to the house, and people were streaming in and out of the door. And right away I'm going, there's loads of competition here. This isn't going to happen. You know, I don't even know where we are right now. But we walked in, and I was past the point of caring. And I just said, well, I'm a pastor, and I'm beginning to serve here at North Shore Alliance Church. And immediately, the guy showing us the house, his face lit up. And he said, oh, really? Well, you know, that's just two blocks from here. And I said, no, really, it is. Okay. And he said, you know, and I think you might have an in here if you like it, because the owners of this home are the in-laws to the children's pastor there. And so if you really like it, why don't you come over to our house for breakfast tomorrow morning? We'll invite Shirley and Matt Rayburn over, we'll sign the papers, and you can be off on your flight by noon. How does that sound? And I just stood there, what? You know, and Linda and I looked at each other, and then we, like, okay, yeah, sounds good, but we should just walk out and talk this over outside. So we did. And, you know, it was, we were just like, okay, this is obviously it. And then my cell phone rang. Hello, I'm in Vancouver. Or, you know, is everything okay at home? This is a local call. Well, it's the owners of the place on Friday. We've decided that we would like to rent to you if you'd like it now. Now, the thing is, that was a great place. It would have worked out, but it was nothing like what I had prayed for. Nothing. Now we live on 21st Street, St. Andrews. Two blocks away with three bedrooms and a semi-detached house. The one key thing I didn't ask for was to own it, but that's okay. God doesn't give us all the wants, you know what I mean? But he provides, and I've learned that lesson. Now, that's just a simple story about finding a house. But I learned a lesson in that story about the importance of keeping trust in God. I had started that way, but I kind of had lost that and took things into my own hands. And in my frustration of fear, I actually think that really God was preventing that guy on the Friday night from renting to us. God's like, this is not going to happen. You need the place where that you ask, because I'm faithful to you. And that's what happened. In his grace, he came through even when I was no longer faithful to him. Now, faith is not something we muster up in our own strength. It's a gift that God gives you that you must choose to exercise. Let me just say that again. Faith is not something that you and I muster up. It's a gift. And there's a mystery to it, but it's a gift from God that you have to choose to exercise. You know, faith is a little bit like having muscles. You didn't create your own muscles. God gave those muscles to you. But you have to choose to exercise them. And the muscles in your arm, if you choose to exercise the muscles in your arm, that arm can begin to do some heavy lifting and begin to serve you well. And you can then begin to access all kinds of things through the strength of your arm. And when something's wrong with your arm, you know it. You know it. All of a sudden, life is very difficult with one arm or no arms. And God has given you and I a gift of faith, but we have to choose to exercise it to begin to really access the things that he has for us. That's sort of the way it works. And so on the one hand, we can't muster it up, but on the other, we must exercise whatever measure, whatever level he has given us, starting with faith in his son. Hebrews chapter 11 has become known as the Bible's chapter on faith. It illustrates what faith looks like through all kinds of lives. It gives a definition of what it's like, of what it's about. And if you go and read the rest of the chapter and all the other biblical figures that it talks about, you see that the one common denominator to all of them is faith. It's their faith in God. You know, a number of years ago, I heard a statement that really, really challenged me, and one that I've become convinced is actually absolutely true. The statement was this: God does not respond to need. He only ever responds to faith. The first time I heard that, that was so offensive to me. And I thought, can that be true? can that be true? After reading and rereading the Gospels and Jesus' interaction with people and thinking about it, I think I've come to the place where I believe it is true. I believe it's absolutely true. I believe that faith is a gift that God gives. But in terms of exercising that gift and seeing heaven move and life change according to God's design, I believe that that's absolutely true. It's only when we begin to exercise faith that he really begins to move in our lives. Need alone does not move God. Faith does. Now, think about it. If God simply responded to need, why do we still have needs? If God chose to respond on the basis of need instead of faith, it would inevitably violate our free will to see who we're going to look to for the things that we need. And God has given us free will to choose his way or not, to go our own. And we each have got to take responsibility for the paths we've chosen, for the shape of our lives, and even the effects of our life on the lives of other people around us. And even though that is the case, that God has given us free choice, and sometimes there's awful consequences that come along with that, and missed needs, and all kinds of other things, in the midst of all of that, God is still taking us on a journey. He's still wooing us. He's still giving out that gift. And he's saying, with the measure of faith that I've pouring into you and reaching out to you with, will you not come to me? Will you not trust me? Will you not put your life in my hands? Will you not look to me for every need that you have, whether it's physical or spiritual? And whether or not God delivers in this lifetime or the next, that is his invitation. And that is the way that he wants to respond. You know, God knows everything. He's God. And so he already knows our needs. You know, when our prayers are filled with faith, we don't really need to get on our knees and just sort of begin logging all of our needs with God and begging him about them. But rather, in faith, we need to begin appropriating his promises. We need to begin speaking out his faithfulness over those needs. We need to rest in his arms, saying, I know that God loves me, and he can move mountains. And I know that these things are mine in Jesus' name. I know these things are mine in Jesus' name. You know, Jesus told his disciples not to worry about their needs, but to trust their heavenly Father. You can read about it in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said to them that if God will look after the grass of the field and the birds of the air, then how much more do you think he is willing to look after you? When you read the Gospels, whenever Jesus healed someone, it was always without exception in response to someone's faith. It might have been the person with the need, or it might have been someone asking on their behalf. Like the friend who had four people lower him through the roof just to get to Jesus, because they believed that if this friend of theirs could get close to Jesus, they could be healed. And Jesus healed him. What is your need today? What need do you have? Maybe it's financial and you need a job. Maybe you need a friend. Maybe you need a healed heart. Maybe there's an aspect of your body that needs healing. It needs his touch. Whatever the need is, God already knows about it. What he wants to invite you to do this morning is to put your trust in him for it. If there's going to be a weight to a side of our prayers, it's not in the, God, do you know I'm here? It's in the, God, I know, you know that I'm here, and you know that what my needs are, and I choose to receive by faith what you have for me. Do you think you could do that today, if you haven't been doing that? Your Heavenly Father wants you to put your trust in him and to exercise faith that's simple enough for a child. Jesus said it's children who can enter into the kingdom of heaven because of their simple trust in him. And you've got to be vulnerable enough to say, you know, if I do that, if I put myself out there, you know, God is God, and the way he chooses to answer me in terms of timing and way is his business. I surrender myself to his character of goodness and faithfulness. whatever that translates into for the journey of my life. He loves me, and he will always care for me. That is faith. That is faith. Hebrews chapter 11 begins by saying, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Whoever said seeing is believing echoed one of the greatest lies that there is. When it comes to God, it's focusing on him who is unseen. When you look at Abraham and Sarah's life, many promises were given to them and their heirs. Only some of them were fulfilled in their lifetime. But Hebrews chapter 11 in the New Testament is looking back on their journey and saying, you know, actually, there was a seed of eternity planted in Abraham and Sarah as they trusted God. They were looking forward to a heavenly city where the architect is God. Any gift that God did have for them in terms of possessing the land would have been temporary, gone in a few years. But what God had for them for eternity and through all of their family, extending to even you and I sitting here this morning, was immense and enormous, but not something they were enabled to physically see themselves before passing to the next life. And that may be the same for you and I as we trust him. The Hebrews uses their life to show us what authentic faith looks like. And the first is this, it's simple obedience. It says that by faith, Abraham obeyed and went to a land that he didn't know where it was, where he was going. But he followed God's call anyway. And two, authentic faith is choosing to believe God, even when it looks impossible. Again, they receive this promise of a son, and they stumble, and they try things their own way. And they have Ishmael, and it doesn't really work out very well. But God still delivers Isaac, even though year after year, time is going by. But Abraham chooses to believe God in his promise. And third, authentic faith is trusting when you don't understand. I mean, can you imagine? Finally, the promise of a son comes, and then God's asking you to give him up as a sacrifice. What kind of crazy invitation is that? I don't know, but it's the one that God gave Abraham. But there was a test behind it that Abraham could not see. And interestingly, Hebrews says, well, you know, Abraham must have come to the place where he believed that God could raise the dead, because he was like, on the one hand, God's going to fulfill all his promises through this son, Isaac. But on the other hand, he's asking me to kill him. So, okay, well, let's just take it to the next level. God can raise the dead. You know, nothing is impossible for him. Some things that God is calling us to are just beyond our comprehension, but his character must be the foundation for us to go forward in it. When it comes to God, it's all about faith and trusting him and resting in his promises and believing he will come through even when it looks impossible. But it's not the wish list. It's the needs he's already promised to supply in his time and in his way. I just want to finish just by a quick story here. Some of you already know the story, but after we were married, Linda and I had a hard time conceiving. But after a lot of prayers and tears and medical intervention, we had our eldest daughter, Serena, who's 7 now. But a few years after that, we still had this desire for a family. I thought, well, maybe there's still time we could do that. God just began sending a number of individuals to us saying that God had told them that we were going to have a son. And these were random people. One of them was in a crowd of a couple of thousand that turned to Linda in the middle of a worship time and just said, thank you, God, for the son that is coming. And that was like the conversation. And we said, okay, wow. And 5.5 years went by and nothing happened. And month after month, we were just like, when is this promise going to happen, God? And I was starting to think, well, you know, someone's pulled the wool on our eyes. Somehow these 5 people who didn't know each other got together somehow and said, let's pull something on these guys. You know, 5 years ago, you know. I just could not understand or reconcile. And then finally, when we said, you know what, okay, God, if anything's going to happen, we're not seeking medical intervention, we're not having anxiety after every month, we're just going to let things go, and you're going to have to do this. And we got pregnant, and I was just like, well, you're pregnant, and I was so overjoyed. And by joy, I turned to confusion, though. We went to see the ultrasound technician, and she said, oh, congratulations, it looks like you're going to have a girl. A girl. I was like, no, we're having a boy, you know. And obviously, you know the story. We had a second daughter, Maris, and the technician, she knew her stuff. And I just sat there, well, I mean, I'm happy to have a girl, but I just, like, I'm getting near 40. I'm not interested in kind of waiting another 5 years here. Like, you know, okay, well, maybe all those other people got it wrong, you know. And then, you know, not even 2 years later, we're pregnant and it's a boy and we have our Simon. And now I'm really overjoyed. I'm thinking, oh, ye of little faith, you know. And, but my joy turned to tears. You know, when we went to the ultrasound technician again, it's like, well, your son's going to be born with a cleft lip and palate. And I was really taken back. I went down to the fireside room here and I cried. And I said, God, I don't get it. This is the boy that you promised. He's from you, right? So how could this happen? And, you know, God has given us faith to trust him with Simon's life. And I'm so thankful for that. And I guess one thing I've learned from that story is not only to hang on and keep believing God, but secondly, sometimes the promises God gives you, you will need. Do you get that? God gives you promises in advance because he knows you need them. I needed to know if Simon was from him when this happened. If I had not known the gift that Simon was, I'm not sure where I'd be. I don't know if I have enough faith. But God supplied me faith by giving us a heads up. A baby boy is coming and he's from me. And I needed those promises. And there are promises in the scriptures for you and I this morning that you need. That you will not be surprised when there's difficulty and challenge. When you have to turn to God and you've got nothing and you've got to say, God, where are you? I need you and I want to believe and stand on what you promised to do in my life. So it's nice to have these warm, fuzzy promises, but they're there because you will need them. And God's inviting you to take him up on his faithfulness. Some of you this morning need to trust him with the promises that he's made to you. Maybe they've come prophetically through the prayer of another person or the words of another person that need to be weighed and tested. But there are certainly loads of scriptures that speak about his goodness to us where we need to trust him. We need to trust him. Psalm 23 is a wonderful psalm that speaks about God's presence with us through situations that even are like the valley of the shadow of death. And David said, in thinking about times like that, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Psalm 23 is an incredible psalm of trust in the face of questions and need. If you haven't made Psalm 23 your psalm already, why don't you read it and pray it and stand on it? Would you stand with me as we close? I want to invite the worship team to come. We're going to sing a song that's a little bit of a change, Melissa, on the schedule here. I'd like us to sing My Jesus, My Savior. That's not the title, is it?
Shout to the Lord.
Shout to the Lord. But before we declare that again, I just invite you to pray for a minute. Father in heaven, we just want to say thank you for being our God, for being the God of Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Jacob, for sending your one and only son and offering him up. Lord, there are some of us who have needs and we just want to just come before you and stand on your promise to care for us and to hear our cries. So I just want to invite you right now, if the Holy Spirit has been prompting any of you with a need that you've been trying to reconcile, you've been trying to go after on your own, you've been in a place of anxiety over, then before we sing, I just invite you to take a minute. Name that need. Surrender it to him. And say, the answer for this, whatever it might be, is mine in Jesus' name. All things are accessed in terms of the things of heaven under the name of Jesus. Craft your own prayer right now in response to him. Lord God, we just surrender these needs to you, whether they're physical, emotional, or spiritual. We thank you that this really isn't about us. It's just appropriating the gift that you've given us. So we just want to choose to exercise faith and receive. And I pray for the gift of faith. For those of us who feel like, I just don't have it. I've never put my trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin and the gift of eternal life. And I'm still lost, and I am still holding myself responsible and not letting myself off the hook. So if you've never trusted in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of all your sin, all that you ever have done and all that you ever will do, you can do that now and say, sorry, I'm sorry, God, for the wrongful things in my life. And I just accept your offer of forgiveness that came by the cross and your gift of eternal life. And now I invite you, Jesus, to take me on a journey of trusting you for my every future need, physical or spiritual. And just say amen to that. And just say, that's in Jesus' name, it's yours for those who believe. Lord, we just bless you. We just thank you for your love. Like, you're so patient with us. Thank you that even this faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains in your kingdom. So with whatever we've got, we offer it to you again in Jesus' name. Let's sing.
So just before we close, just a quick prayer and we'll get on our way. Lord, we just praise you that you're an awesome God that calls people to yourselves. You've called each of us here, and we are truly blessed by that. We thank you that we are able to show you in small ways how much we love you through the act of baptism and through other steps in our walk. And we just praise you for the awesome God that you are. So now may the peace of the Lord himself give you peace at all times, and may the Lord be with you. If you want prayer, if you want to talk through anything, the elders will be up the front if you want to get some prayer, but also just feel free to pray with those around you, and have a great week.